Hi, I'm Rhianna Patrick, and I just wanted to say thanks so much for listening to this episode of AusYA. Jodie McAllister joined me to talk about her latest novel, Valentine. We talked about her love of romance novels, spooky inspiration, and what she's planning to write next. I hope you love this chat as much as I did. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast or like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find those details at abc.net.au/abcread. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready.
Please give it up.
This is Rhianna.
It's Rhianna.
Rhianna Patrick.
ABC Radio.
Jodie, this is your debut novel, but why did you want to set it around four young people who are all born on Valentine's Day? I mean, where did that idea come from?
Well, that actually kind of came in quite late in the process. I've drafted this novel over a couple of years, and the fact that all four of them were born on the same day actually didn't enter in until the third or fourth draft. I'm not a great planner, so when I was writing the original drafts of this, I would just keep writing until all my characters were in a hole that they couldn't get out of, and then I'd have to backtrack and start somewhere else and start again. But so kind of the world building was very organic as I experimented with things and played with things, and I knew eventually that I had to find a way to make these four characters special. I had to find a way to link them together. And I didn't want it to be something like a prophecy or too mystical, because one of the things that I love when I'm reading kind of paranormal and fantasy novels is when they're kind of as real as possible. There's this scholar of fantasy fiction called Farah Mendelssohn who talks about different kinds of fantasy novels. And the one that she talks about that I love the most is the intrusive fantasy, when everything is normal until something fantastical and magical and usually sinister intrudes. So I wanted a pretty normal reason for them to be linked together, and the fact they were all born on the same day seemed like a pretty good one, and I didn't want to make it kind of a random day, and I picked Valentine's Day because I like the sound of the word Valentine, honestly.
Well, Jodie, without giving too much away, and I'm really aware of spoilers, and I would hate to take that away from a reader because I was surprised at what I learnt reading this book, which I loved, and I don't want to take that away from anyone else. But you don't read too many novels set in Australia around the secret that Finn has that is revealed to Finn. Why did you want to go there?
I think it was a simple case of fascination. So I'm trying to kind of steer around the elephant in the room, which is what Finn is. But these are stories about these creatures, I guess, are things that I loved growing up, and the really, really dark, sinister versions. And there were some that used to give me nightmares. And I think that combination of this sinister supernatural force and the Australian bush, which is such a terrifying and desolate landscape, which is something that is explored in a lot of Australian literature, I think, is how frightening the bush is. That seemed to me to be a really logical match, kind of pairing those two terrors together to make something quite creepy, quite scary, and quite atmospheric, I hope. Anyway, that was what I was shooting for.
Jodie, 17-year-old Pearl is our narrator in Valentine. What is her story?
So Pearl has been raised by her two older siblings, Shad and Dicey, who are twins. They are exactly twice her age. So she's 17, they're 34. And when Pearl was young, when she was 4 years old, their mother died. And so Shad and Dicey have been raising her ever since. And she's quite defensive about her family arrangements. People often try and tell her that her family is less or lacking, or that she feels abandoned, and she's very firm that no, she loves her family the way it is. She has one thing that she has done, though, that her mother also did, was that she's a musician. So she writes her own music, she plays the piano, she goes to music lessons every week, and she quite seriously pursues a musical career, which turns out to be quite instrumental in some of the more supernatural developments in the book. But other than that, she's been a fairly normal high school student. And so she's gone through high school together with Finn, the book's hero. They don't like each other very much. They get into slanging matches often. She has her best friend, Philippa. She has her crush, Cardi. All these people at school together living normal lives. And everything in her town is quite normal until it isn't.
Jody, tell me about the town of Halesford and how much of Halesford is your own experience of the town that you grew up in. And what was that town that you grew up in?
So I grew up in Kiama on the south coast of New South Wales. And when I was growing up there in the 90s, it was a lot smaller than it is now. So Halesford, which is actually named after my sister Hayley, it's not a very...
I love it.
Imaginative name. I don't do shout outs a lot in my work, but yeah, I named the town after my sister and I named the history teacher, Ms. Rao, after a good friend of mine. But yeah, going back to Halesford, it was much smaller when I was growing up there. And I think there are some things that are possible in small towns in literature that you kind of can't do in more metropolitan settings. I think that sense of isolation and of the landscape, particularly in Australian small towns, encroaching on civilization is really important in small towns. So Halesford is quite little. It's bordered on one side by the ocean, on the other side by a creek. And there's bush, quite a lot of bush. It's a very small town. It's got a main street, a school, a newspaper, but not too much else. And so I really wanted that sense that it's somehow cut off from the rest of the world, even though realistically it isn't. People have cars, they can go driving anywhere. And at one point in the novel, they all go to Sydney and the danger does follow them to Sydney. But it's also this kind of claustrophobic sense of isolation.
Jodie, the novel really freaked me out, and I probably shouldn't have read it by myself at night, but Pearl starts to notice that blackbirds, black cats, and a black horse have started to pay attention to her and the other Valentines, if you like. Am I the only person who's found this super creepy? I mean, what's the feedback that you've got on the, I suppose, those supernatural elements that you've tied into this novel?
It's something that people have found very creepy, more creepy than I actually anticipated, which, like, is good. It means I succeeded at what I was doing. But the one that's been particularly horrifying for people, I think, is the blackbirds. And it's less because they're blackbirds. So I think there is kind of a Hitchcock thing going on there, but more just because they trigger memories of magpies swooping people, honestly. And we all know how vicious and horrible that can be. These are magical, supernatural, evil magpies, and no one wants that.
Jodie, you mentioned that you're not a planner when it comes to writing, but what is your process and how did you go with writing this book? And I know that there is a second book in this series as well.
Yeah. Well, my friend Monique calls me a squid because I spill a lot of ink to get where I need to go. So I first started drafting this book, it would have been 2009, so quite a while ago now, and I just kept writing until, you know, there was no possibility for everyone to survive. And so I would backtrack and the plot worked out quite organically that way. But planning is something I've had to kind of train myself to do. And I am quite disciplined as a writer, I think. I'm good at kind of making myself sit down and write. And so teaching myself to plan has been kind of like that. And so while I had years to kind of potter away with Valentine and go through a lot of drafts and tinker with this and fix that until I was happy it was perfect, and then I, you know, sent it out and sought publication, which I was, you know, super lucky to get. Because I'm on contract for the sequel, Ironheart, my process has necessarily had to be a bit different. And obviously when I was working out what happened in Valentine, I was also kind of planning ahead for future things to happen in the series. So I had a bit more of a structure with Ironheart. But even then, when I was writing it, I wrote it over last year. There was one bit where I had just written myself into such a hole that I was like, oh no. So I had to go back, rewrite quite a lot of the earlier material until I got to the end. But I did, and it's done. And each book I write, I have a better idea of what I want to do in the next book. And I always know where I want to go. I just don't always know how I'm going to get there. And sometimes that means I go down some really strange detours in my drafts before I work it out.
Well, tell me about the second book in the series, Ironheart, what you're allowed to tell me at this point in time. But, you know, do we see more adventures happening between Pearl and Finn?
Oh, absolutely. So in Ironheart, I really wanted to explore what it's like after something massive and life-changing happens. And what do you do when your world's been, you know, flipped on its head? And so Pearl has to come to terms with quite a lot of that, and as does Finn, and they have kind of different... I don't want to give away the ending of Valentine, but they can both have different experiences there, so they need to come to terms with that. They need to come to terms with what their relationship looks like now, what it looks like for each other. But also, what happens at the end of Valentine doesn't just affect the two of them. It affects everyone in their close circles. And so trying to work out what the world looks like is a big part of that book, as well as dealing with a new and even more terrifying, new terrifying threat to their lives, and some new characters as well.
Jodie, who were your favourite authors growing up? And, I mean, what influence did they have on you and your writing?
My very first favourite author when I was very young, I learned to read quite young, was Enid Blyton. So I grew up on Noddy, and then I graduated into The Faraway Tree, which I think has really given me my love of the fantastical. You can take that right back to Enid Blyton and then onto her school books. And I think reading her school books made me really interested in representing female friendship, which there's quite a lot of in Valentine, and it will become even more important in later books in the series. When I was 9, I first picked up Isabel Carmody's Ober Newton, which was just a foundational book for me and has been hugely influential to the point where I actually wrote an academic article about how influential it was for me. And I have entire friendships based on love for this book. So that was just enormous. In my teens, I read some high fantasy, and I didn't entirely fall in love with the genre, but I think it gave me a sense of some of the rules and the way that you kind of do fantasy, that you construct otherworldly areas. And then in my academic career, my PhD centres on romance fiction. So I have read a lot of romance novels. I have a lot of favourite authors, and there are a ton of different subgenres there that I've read across. But all this while, I've been reading young adult fiction, and it's one thing that I have written a little bit about it academically, but I don't study it like I do with romance fiction. It's kind of this other thing for me that I can turn to when I'm kind of done writing academic stuff of the day. I go into my YA space and I read or I write.
So how did you go about developing your own voice, Jodie? And at what point did you realise that you had your own voice in there if you were trying to, as you said earlier, mimic the writings of your favourite authors?
Well, I think mimicking is a good way to learn. So you learn and you can kind of take bits from people, take bits from here and there. And there are definite influences on my writing. But I think a big part of finding your own voice is becoming confident in who you are. So I remember as a teenager, I was, you know, having 50 identity crises a week. And I didn't have my own voice because I didn't know how to articulate things properly. I wasn't confident in my own identity. And that's something that I really found confidence in my 20s. I decided I knew what I wanted. And that was really instrumental in me finding my own voice, was gaining confidence that my voice was important, that it was something that deserved to be written down. And that kind of snap in my brain when I was like, no, okay, this is who I am, this is what I want, this is what my voice looks like, that was really important for me, and it really changed the way that I wrote.
Can we go back to your PhD in romance fiction for a second,
sure.
Jodie? Romance fiction, just as someone who's pretty much an outsider, and I don't think I've read a lot in recent years, it seems to be growing in popularity again. I know that there's a romance fiction-only bookstore that's opened in the US, and that there's a bit of a stereotype and a perception about the people who read romance fiction. But is that right, in that there seems to be a resurgence in romance fiction, there seems to be a growing audience for it, and it really has started to mature mature, if you like, where it, you know, it's not really a dirty word anymore, and you don't have to exchange these things in paper bags.
Well, romance is an enormous genre. It is by far the most sold and the most read genre in the world. It's like there are no words for how huge this is. And in many ways, it carries a lot of the publishing industry. It pays for a lot of other things. And during the recession in the late 2000s, romance kept the publishing industry afloat. Really, it's quite remarkable, and yet it is very devalued, largely, I think, because it is written and consumed by women. I mean, there is a real sexist bias there going on, I think. But romance is fascinating because it is a constantly evolving genre. And I go to a lot of romance writers' conferences as both a writer and as a scholar as well. And I'm fascinated by the way people think so deeply about the way they write. It's very, very interrogative. People are actively seeking new things. They're seeking to innovate. They're seeking to make things mirror real life, to bring in new concerns. It's a really dynamic genre, and I find it really exciting to study and to read.
So is there at any point do you think you would write romance fiction, or are you purely there for the academia and looking at sort of where it's going more so than being a consumer?
Well, I mean, never say never, really. I'm pretty happy writing young adult at the moment, and because I do study it, I would have to really think carefully about how I would negotiate studying something that I also wrote on. But it's not something I have plans to do now, but I'm not going to rule it out in the future because it is a genre that I love and I have an enormous amount of respect for. And it's fantastic. Like, I have great times whenever I go to romance conferences, and it's such an exciting space. It makes me really happy.
Jodi, you mentioned that Ironheart is book two, but you also alluded that there might be more books in this series. How many have you got in your mind that you think could come into this series?
In my mind, it's four books, and I know where I want to go with all of them. I don't know how I'm going to get there exactly in all of them, but I know the trajectory of this series, and there are kind of some plot developments, even in Valentine and especially in Ironheart coming out, that are setting up some things for the later books. So it's definitely the structure has taken shape in my mind of what I want this series to look like.